Welcome to another edition of Through Science to Health. With yours truly, Chris Bricker, and my co-host, Lynn Sorensen, RN retired, and soon to come out of retirement for a stint on the vaccination lines. She's a public health advocate and both a member of KPTZ's virus watch team, as well as our emergency response team. On alternate Fridays at noon, we get together to bring you discussion and updates surrounding the pandemic and COVID-19. Welcome, Lynn Sorensen. Are you on the line?
Thank you, Chris.
All right.
I'm on the line.
That's good news. Good news. All right. Well, we're accustomed to doing, some general observations first. Well, it was a year ago, yesterday, as a matter of fact, when life as we knew it in the United States ground to a halt. And while the virus had already been making its path around the world, the full extent of the threat became something real to Americans a year ago. Now, as President Biden pictured it last night, there is a return to some version of normalcy on the horizon. As the Seattle Times pointed out, there's a realization that the tried and true protocols like social distancing and mask wearing were not political restraints, but truly necessary in mitigating the spread of the virus. I'm thinking that when we look back on this period in history, it'll be with some degree of astonishment, not only at the politics and impatient nature of American society, but also in astonishment at the empathy and dedication of our nation as it exhibited in spite of it all. Battles and posturing.
I agree with that. Yeah.
All those battles and posturing, you know, continuing in Texas and Florida and other places. But polls are showing that Americans in general are not only resonating with the actions and empathy of the current administration, but longing for that return to touch, the human contact, to intimacy, and something close to the normal our children and our society experience in what seems like a long, yet bizarrely brief time ago. Lynn, how about a summary?
Yes.
How about a summary of Dr. Locke's County Health Report this week? There is lots of news there.
There's lots of news every week, yes. But I just want to reiterate some of the things that's happening in Jefferson County. As of yesterday, we have a total of 336 cases since the beginning, but there have been no new cases thus far in March, so that's at least 11 days and counting, and there were only 5 cases in the last week of February, so indeed we are trending down, and yes, there have been fewer tests being done, but still, they are being done. We have, at Jefferson Healthcare, almost 20,000 COVID tests have been done over the past year. And as of yesterday, only 7 tests were pending, and there are no active cases in isolation. Jefferson Healthcare is vaccinating through their drive-through line 6 days a week at about 300 or 350 injections a day. And we're doing well in the state as well. Washington State new cases have been down 18% in the past 2 weeks, but there's still 678 cases as the rolling average per day. So we certainly aren't out of the woods yet. Dr. Locke emphasized that the new CDC guidelines that came out on the 8th, on the day he did his update as well, they are recommendations. There's not, you know, they're not rules per se that we all have to abide by, but he was indicating that those who are fully immunized and 2 weeks after your last vaccination, you could gather indoors with other fully vaccinated adults without masks and with those other household members that were low at risk to develop serious illness. So this is a green light for grandparents and grandchildren to get together. But there are still different conditions. And Dr. Locke said he still hadn't found a copy of the guidelines in print, so I didn't go looking for them today, but apparently there's a long list of different conditions that the CDC would say these are still considered high-risk types of people that have certain conditions to be around, even if you are vaccinated. The Washington State will be following, I'm sure, the CDC guidelines. Dr. Locke indicated that Washington State usually has even more stringent guidelines than the CDC comes out with, but that overall we're doing quite well. There were some questions on from the KPTZ audience about have him explain, now if you're fully vaccinated and you are exposed to a known positive COVID case, why don't you have to quarantine for the 14 days? And apparently they've found that it's not necessary. But in the case of, say, a healthcare worker or someone who works in a assisted living agency, or that they do need to quarantine. So us in the general public, if we've been fully vaccinated, again, 2 weeks after your final vaccination, you do not have to quarantine. So it's a little bit confusing in that regard. Washington State has exceeded their goal of giving over 45,000 vaccinations in a day. And Dr. Locke was saying this ramped up a lot faster than anticipated. And again, it all has to do with supply of vaccine. So things are moving along.
Yeah, it's really encouraging, and it's really encouraging to hear that the vaccination numbers are increasing here in the county. I believe that they're going to open it up soon, right, for widespread vaccination.
Yeah, and those will be run by the Department of Emergency Management and the Public Health Department, and it all depends on getting the vaccine and having that, you know, they can count on the supply coming so that they can open up appointments. And this is still in the works. I'm sure that it'll probably come out via Willie Bentz, from the executive director of the Department of Emergency Management, when they actually will be open. But it will be considered, there will be appointments available. And I think, I'm not sure if that's going to be online or through the Emergency Operations Call Center, but it will be opening up and could be by the end of March. And it'll be in those kind of vaccination clinics that I will be volunteering to give the vaccinations. And I believe that'll be done with the Moderna vaccine that doesn't require as the Pfizer vaccine is more complicated as far as keeping it cold enough and mixing it up, et cetera.
Well, I was going to ask you when you got drafted there, Lynn.
Yeah, so yeah. Well, I'm drafted. We're supposed to be doing some dry runs and finding out if we've got all the stations set up. But I'm sure they're going to have a very slow start to it when it does happen, just so we can make sure that it's running as smoothly as possible, so that people can get in and out, and that the people that are actually doing the vaccinations or doing the observing of people post-vaccination, we all have our ducks in a row. And again, to mention President Biden's announcement last night that he says he's expecting by May 1st that everyone should be able to access, a vaccine. Those that are, Pfizer can be given to those 16 and older, but otherwise it's 18 and older. And Dr. Locke said this also, that he expects by May that there should be enough vaccine for anyone who wants it. So that's ramped up even sooner than he had expected. And some of this in part is because Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which is a one-dose vaccine, should be coming out and being available, widely available. And that'll be great, because getting one vaccine is so much less complicated than scheduling for your second vaccine, either 3 or 4 weeks from the first. It's sounding, hopeful at this point. And it's a real change, I think, for us to consider that. We do have to be careful, though, as regarding to the variant viruses, and those are the ones, there's the UK variant and the South African one and the Brazilian one that they know of so far. And Dr. Locke has said a couple of times that he expects that the UK variant will be the predominant virus circulating in the state of Washington, I think he said by the end of this month. We do have documented cases of that in King County, and also I think there were 5 cases of the South African variant. No Brazilian thus far. But again, it still requires, because of those variants, we have to still be masking in public, whether you're fully immunized or not. And also the recommendation, I think we spoke of last time, about wearing 2 masks, you know, wearing a one of the surgical blue masks close to your face and then a cloth mask over that. So if you're going to King County or along the I-5 corridor, whether you're vaccinated or not, I would recommend wearing those masks just to be on the safe side.
All these variants, in one way, if you can use a banal comparison, they all have different accents. And
they do.
So it's important for us to be vigilant about that and to pay attention to all of the scientific follow-up to that.
Yeah, the vaccine should work against these variants as well. It's just what they'll do is soften the amount of illness that you might feel if it is with a variant. Again, they're still researching so much of this, and the virus does mutate as it goes along, and that's normal for viruses. So, you know, we're not over this by any means, although we're hopeful that maybe by this late summer, our guidelines will be much less restricted.
It might be important for us to mention right now that testing isn't necessarily out the window here.
No, not at all.
Yeah, because I think that public health officials and researchers might be worried that the declines in testing would allow undetected viral spread. So that's important to remember. And, you know, right. So if you're showing symptoms of COVID, if you've been in close contact with someone who's known to have an infection, if you were advised to get a test by a local state health official, if you've been in risky environments, those are all things to watch out for.
Right, and it's very important for them to be able to determine what is in the county. And so the testing is still very important to get done if you have any kind of respiratory illness symptoms.
Yeah, one of the things I think that Biden announced a deal with an Australian company for at-home tests, and there's going to be an infusion of money into that as well. An Australian company called Ellume, Ellume, at-home tests. That's encouraging to be able to have something like that in the toolbox, as we say.
Right, but again, if that shows a negative, that doesn't necessarily mean you don't have it. That's the trouble with the rapid test, or actually any test. You could develop symptoms or enough viral load the next day to get a positive. So it is a screening test, so it's important for that. The other thing was that they hope to have Biden announce that there'll be a federally funded website coming anyway that would be able to allow people in all over the nation to find a vaccine appointment. So that is very important. If indeed a website could be created, you know, because the different states are opening up the vaccinations at different levels. Like Alaska just announced that it's opening up appointments for anyone age 16 and older, no restrictions. So, and other states are staying age 50 and up. I mean, it's opening up just because, you know, the vaccine availability is there. And so why not get as many people vaccinated as they can?
Might be important for us right now to maybe reiterate that There are phone lines available for volunteers to help you make an appointment if you're having trouble doing that for any particular reason. You can call in and get a volunteer to help you out. Mm-hmm. And that number is 360-344-9791. It's 360-344-9791. And volunteers.
And that's through the Emergency Operations Center, call center that's staffed by volunteers, and it's open Monday through Friday, 9 to 4 p.m.
Because I know there's been some frustration out there for some people trying to make an appointment and just, you know, getting frustrated at not knowing specifically where to call maybe, or, you know, so mm-hmm. these folks are there. They have a team there that are more than happy to help you out, folks, if you're having any problem getting an appointment. So,
and I think that KPTZ is going to have a new public service announcement coming out with regard to post-vaccination behavior. And so that, I don't know if that's going to be in play as of today, but it, again, will help people understand that what you need to do, you know, and how you can get together indoors with others who are fully vaccinated, et cetera. So, but we still need to remain vigilant. And if we have a couple minutes left, I'm not sure how much time we have, but I'm a member of the Rat Island Rowing Club, and we too had our annual meeting, preseason meeting this week. And we're trying to figure out, you know, how many, you know, if we can row. We didn't get to row all last year, and we have usually quads with four people in a boat or doubles. But U.S. Rowing oversees our policies, and so we're trying to come up with guidelines as to, you know, how we're going to do it this year. Should we get the go-ahead to row? And it's just, you know, there's those guidelines, and then there's the Maritime Center that has its own boathouse rules, and it's complex. But I think this year is going to be a lot better than last year, which I'm looking forward to.
That's for sure. We have the second half of this year to look forward to in many, many ways, and just our journey towards the summer. And if we're all careful, and if we all are cognizant of our neighbor and where we are in the scheme of things, I think it's going to be important, very important for us all. I think one of the things that another thing we might mention, just I think we have another minute or two, is talk maybe a little bit about vaccine hesitancy and what are some of the best ways to help promote the idea that getting vaccinated is a good thing. There's herd immunity, obviously, but also the hesitancy on the part of some. And I think
I don't know of anyone personally that is hesitant. People are mostly are eager to get it, but I'm sure there are, and I think it's just going to take time and for them to talk with their friends and family who have received the vaccine and just warm up to it that way. And certainly people can decide whether they want it or not. I mean, they could be protected by our herd immunity if we get up to 70 or 80% of us vaccinated, but, you know, that's taking some time. And it will take time. So,
I think just talk it up. Those that have been vaccinated, not as a neener kind of a thing, but to engender jealousy or anything like that. It's just to encourage people to hang in there and go to the resources to get your appointment and be patient because the county is handling this and methodically and in a very, very good way. All right. Well, Lynn Sorensen, thank you. Thank you so much for joining me, as always.
Thanks, Chris.
Through Science to Health, with yours truly, Chris Bricker, and my co-host, Lynn Sorensen, RN retired, soon to come out of retirement for a stint on the vaccination lines. She's a public health advocate and both a member of KPTZ's Virus Watch team, as well as our emergency response team. We're on alternate Fridays at noon. We get together to bring you discussion and updates surrounding the pandemic and COVID-19. Thank you, Lynn, as always, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. Bye-bye. Bye.